The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Are you taking a sim? We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass because right now in his chair, the person that I call, and I'm not sure if he will object to this characterization or not, but I call him the most successful sports bettor of his generation, at least this side of the planet Earth. I don't know what's going on the other side of planet Earth, but certainly in this hemisphere he is. He is half of the Massey Peabody Analytics team. He's half of the Bet the Process podcast with his buddy Jeff Ma. And of course, he's a co-founder of Unabated, in addition to being maybe the most fascinating and the most successful person of his generation in gambling. It's Rufus Peabody, everybody, here in studio. How you doing, man?
I object.
You object?
I object.
You object to that characterization?
Vehement objection.
A vehement objection?
I mean, maybe I'm the most successful that you know, but I don't think that means I'm successful in the most successful in the entire sports betting universe.
Do you know that you're not in terms of this generation?
I don't think any of that stuff is falsifiable.
That's correct. Nor is it verifiable.
Right.
Perhaps.
Well, yeah. There's so many people doing different things.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you said that I was the most successful golf bettor, I think that that would make...
I think you will accept.
That is... Again, I don't know if that's the case or not.
Yeah.
But certainly, there's certainly people doing things far more exceptional than I am.
Okay. That's very humble of you. That's very modest of you. Let me see if you'll appreciate. Let me see if we can get this agreement on this. For those who are unaware, Michael Lewis, great author. I think my favorite author. I think I speak for a lot of people when they say is your favorite.
Mine as well.
The Blind Side, The Big Short, perhaps most famously, financial books. You know, are his thing from Wall Street. But for our purposes, Moneyball, I think, is probably the one that most people would gravitate towards. Anyway, he does a podcast called Against the Rules. And season 5 of his podcast had to do with sports betting. And Rufus, you were pretty much, now you might object to this too, you were kind of the central, you were kind of the focal point of this. At least starting in episode 4, you were. And one of the things that Michael Lewis, who is more articulate than I can ever possibly be, but he crystallizes thoughts very well. One of the things he said, which really resonated for me, and I'm curious if you will buy into this, is he said that Roxy, our buddy Roxy Roxborough, was sort of the guy who, you know, was maybe the first known person to think of analytics when it came to sports betting. He obviously recognized ballpark factor before anybody else did. And Michael Lewis framed it as, there was never a bridge from Roxy to the new generation, and he characterized you as that bridge. The first person sort of this generation that thought in the same way. You were looking for explanations as to why things happened in sports. Do you accept that you are that bridge and that you hold this very fascinating part in sports betting?
I would say me and people like me just came along at that time when computers had the processing power and the data was available to be able to answer some of these fundamental questions that someone like Roxy wasn't able to answer back in the 1970s, 1980s, early 1990s.
And I think the other thing that came up that was interesting to me was there was some notion of, were you like this? So Roxy was a better who then thought to think of things analytically. You were a guy who, you grew up outside of D.C. What high school did you go to, by the way?
T.C. Williams High School.
T.C. Williams.
Virginia. Remember the Titans.
Northern Virginia. Remember the Titans. That's right. You went to Yale. You wrote a thesis on the baseball betting market, the efficiency of the baseball betting market. And you were not a bettor. You were the opposite of Roxy. You didn't start out as a sports bettor. You were just a guy with a really inquisitive analytical mind.
I was a sports numbers nerd.
Okay.
Like I was the statistician for the basketball team my senior year of high school.
You were that kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I played all the sports, but even more than that, sports occupied a place in my head.
And so you read an article about Roxy and Las Vegas Sports Consultants?
It wasn't even about Roxy, because by that time, Roxy had sold Las Vegas Sports Consultants to CBS Sportsline.
Okay.
But I read an article on ESPN.com by Gene Wojciechowski about LVSC for Selection Sunday. So he was embedded there. he spent Selection Sunday with the group of odds makers there. And basically, the article said, "You think you're sharp? You're what these kind gentlemen would refer to as a square." Like, you know, and I was like, this seems like the coolest place ever to work.
And so you lobbied for an internship.
Yeah, I like cold called. And I got the runaround and got the runaround again, like call back in 3 Sundays at 3 p.m. And I did. And they like nobody was in the office that had, you know.
And eventually you pestered them enough where they gave it to you.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those random coincidences where if that had not happened, I wouldn't be doing this for a living. I would be in a completely different industry, probably.
Brief parenthetical aside, when you and I have been friends for over a decade now, we used to have talks about even more than 10 years ago, how you always felt like, well, is sports betting really what I want to do with my life? Is there a more, and I'll paraphrase now, is there a more noble cause? Do you still have those internal dialogue debates?
Oh, definitely. It's, I don't know what, I don't think there's just one thing to do with your life, though. And I don't know if I can necessarily do anything more meaningful career-wise that takes advantage of, I guess, my skills, but I think it's certainly something I'm thinking a lot about and how I can find more meaning in other areas of my life.
This is why, by the way, and I hope I don't embarrass you with this. This is why, like, if you are in fact the bridge, if what Michael Lewis is, how he characterized it is correct. If you are in fact the bridge from Roxy to a generation of more analytical bettors, I'm so glad it's you because you're a thinker and you're not one of these bettors with a DNA strain that is, while smart, also feels like they have to tell the world how smart they are and how everybody else is dumb. You're not that guy. So I appreciate that about you.
Well, 10 years ago, I think I was a lot more that way, Gil.
Yeah, you were.
I was.
I will agree.
I think yes. When you're younger, you think you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get older and you get wiser and you know more, you realize how little you actually know.
Agree. And I think we all sort of, I mean, if you're not growing, if you're not learning, you're probably not doing this life thing right.
That's
back to you. So you go to
Las Vegas. You're probably not going to continue to be successful betting.
What's that?
If you're not growing and learning.
Yes, that's right.
Because the markets are growing and learning.
You always have to adapt,
mm-hmm.
for sure. No market remains static like that. So we go back to the day. So then you're at Las Vegas Sports Consultants. How long is it before your brain toggles to, wait a minute, this is fascinating on this side of the desk, but perhaps my calling is to actually do the betting side of this?
Well, I was betting there that summer. So I did an internship before my senior year. I was betting. I was learning about correlated parlays with the home underdog and the under in baseball. And I was getting like a crash course from these people that had been doing this for their entire lives. And so I kind of got like the, you know, I'd gotten sort of the theoretical education at Yale. I got the very practical education at LVSC. And so I went back to college and I had an odds maker at LVSC that would actually get down for me. You know, he would, I could send him baseball plays and he would get down for me. And so I kind of got the bug. And what I loved about it was the scoreboard. I could bet something.
That's
and
right.
I could see if I was right or wrong.
Instant feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not many things in life that have quite the instant feedback in that way. Your big moment, though, was the Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl. I want to say after the 2008 season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was probably my highest leverage moment as a professional or as a bettor. I was not a professional bettor at the time.
And you were getting free-rolled by others.
I was getting free-rolled by someone in the office, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
And I put my entire bankroll in action and borrowed like $10,000 from a friend who was confident enough in me.
And
I'd given him a bunch of picks to bet himself, which like went 10-0 somehow.
So somehow. And by the way, the most famous, by the way, Michael Lewis refers to this in Against the Rules, which is your most famous one. And I remember it from closer to that time was, you know, Gary Russell to score the first touchdown of that Super Bowl, which, again, based on everything you do, your numbers, the way that you modeled it, showed that it was a far, far likelier outcome than what the odds were saying it was. And within that, there is a bet mm-hmm. to be made.
And I think that was a situation. I don't remember all the details where Gary Russell might not have had a lot of touchdowns during the season, but he was getting the short yardage carries. And so if you're just modeling something based on the outcome rather than the sort of fundamentals that lead to it, you would say, oh, Gary Russell doesn't get a ton of carries, doesn't get a lot of touchdowns. But
you don't watch this Super Bowl. How do you spend that Super Bowl?
I'm playing golf at what is now the TaylorMade little par 3 course south of the airport.
Yep. Because you can't stand to know what's happening.
I was so nervous. So nervous. I just like, I couldn't imagine watching that game and having fun doing it. And so I just was like, I'm going to check the scores at the end.
Have you seen that game to this day?
No.
So
I've seen the highlights of the James Harrison interception return.
So when you finally turn on your computer and you find out Gary Russell scored first and then everything else went your way, or not everything, but most things went your way.
It was a pretty incredible moment.
Elation, a validation that everything you're doing could be your life's work.
I was not thinking about it in that big terms, but certainly elation.
Let's put it this way.
Relief and elation.
Had it gone the other way, would we be sitting here today?
Well, I'd considered, no, we probably wouldn't have, but if it had gone the other way, I had thought about that before I looked. And before I made these bets, I was like, well, you know what? If it doesn't work out, like maybe this wasn't the industry for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you talk to most successful professional bettors, they had at some point a moment where they had to run well early on.
Yes, that's probably true. Harala Bob tells that story too.
And I think if you look at the people that are actually the most successful, like the billionaire bettors types, they at some point way overbet their bankroll to be able to get and had variance go their way. Otherwise, you know, otherwise they would never have, you know, be able to get to that level, because that's a billionaire bettor is a pretty remarkable level.
That is how Rufus's Super Bowl prop career began, and he made a cottage industry of it through the years. We'll get to that, and eventually we'll get to a few bets anyway from what he's made on Super Bowl 59 prop wise. Rufus Peabody here on A Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready for Big Game 59 with a big deal. It's your final week to save $59 off a VSiN annual pro subscription when you sign up with promo code ANG. For just $181, you get a full year of VSiN Pro, including daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circus Sportsbooks, 24/7 video with full access to the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. The special offer disappears after the big game, so don't miss out. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG to lock in your savings. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Rufus Peabody, kind enough to hang with us here at the studio here at Circus Sports. You've never been inside of this studio?
I've never been inside it, no.
I would not have had that. We didn't have you here once? Mm-mm. Or was that the D?
Was it the D?
Only the best for you.
A lot of time at the D.
Oh, only the best for you.
Bar Canada.
So I didn't first become aware of you, because we met at a Celtics game at Sloan.
Is that where we met?
I think so.
When we would get a suite for the game back in the day, me and the betting group.
Yep. And we would be, and Michael Craig used to wrangle me in there.
Michael Craig.
Yeah.
Great
and
guy.
So, your biggest sort of moment, I think, was a Washington Post article about you doing Super Bowl props early on. That's kind of how I think most people became aware of you, at least outside of Vegas. Your most successful Super Bowl prop season was what?
You mean which year?
Which year?
You know, I would say ROI-wise, that first one. And actually, the first one with the betting group in 2000, that would have been the 2010 Super Bowl for the 2009 season.
Which game was that?
That was the Colts-Saints. Colts-Saints. Everything, you know, we actually hit exactas on both teams, the 31-17. But at the time, we probably weren't betting as much as we bet now. So I would say two of the most memorably good ones were the Falcons-Patriots. Despite the fact that the Falcons-Patriots went to overtime, the one guy we had a lot of overs on was James White. Mm-hmm. That worked out very nicely. And
should have been MVP, wasn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. We had James White MVP, and I was.
What was the worst?
And then the Rams Patriots was a very good one too, just because there was like 3 points scored by the Rams, and like all these unders cashed, the Rams exacted to score exactly 3 points.
Wow.
But unfortunately, now because of that Super Bowl, we no longer have a lot of value on these exact point bets for these really low total numbers.
The year that the Patriots played the Falcons, which you said was a big one for you, I happened to spend the second half at the South Point Casino with Chrissy Andrews and Vinny Maliulo in their office. And so I observed if you remember, as the Patriots comeback, 28-3 famously was the score that the Falcons were leading by. When the Patriots comeback first begun, they got to 28-9. And you had, because I know this from Chrissy, right?
Yeah.
He started to, like, I could tell he started to get a little nervous. And I was like, what's wrong? He goes, well, Rufus has me stuck for six figures at nine if the Patriots end up at nine. Now, in real time, because we now know this looking back, this comeback obviously was epic. They were only on, they were only stuck on nine for what, 15 minutes of real time. But in those 15 minutes, he was definitely nervous about it. But you,
I mean,
those
it had
are the
to be like a 10-1 at that point.
Yeah.
Or better.
So
to stay at nine.
But then, but when the Patriots did play the Rams, you actually did hit on a number. The Rams
hit the three. But the funny thing is Zach White, who I worked with for many years, and actually we are doing stuff together for the Super Bowl again.
Oh, just, good.
It's fun. It's so much fun to be working with him again. But back during this Super Bowl, we weren't. And he beat me to most of the best numbers on those with my own numbers, with my own charts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that I had made back then. So
using your old charts.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow.
I kept trying to tell him, the charts have been updated. There's new data. Like, you know, you can't just use the old stuff. It's not going to work as well.
He tried to just he get
see through
it.
That. Yeah.
It's like, all right. What was your worst Super Bowl?
Oh, by far, it was the Eagles-Patriots.
Eagles-Patriots. Oh.
That was the 2019 Super Bowl for the 2018 season.
Oh, the Eagles, the one where the Eagles won.
Yes.
Gotcha.
It was, you know, the Philly special.
Yes. Nick Foles.
We went out. We were at my partner Train's house on the Legacy Golf Course. We were watching the game there. And I'll put it this way. At halftime, we went out and drunk, like, played one of the par three holes there. The signature holes, the 10th hole.
Your spot.
We were like, it didn't matter what happened in the second half. We were screwed.
And you knew it.
Yes.
Wow.
We took a huge bath on that one, for sure.
Define screwed for us, if you would.
Like, ROI percentage was negative 20-something percent, probably, at least.
What are we talking, six figures?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Easily six.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, over the years, a great calling card for you. It goes without saying. How has it changed? Here we are now, February, pardon me, of 2025. You've been doing this for more than a decade and a half. How has it fundamentally changed for you?
Well, the way it's changed in that you have books with legalization post-PASPA, you have books offering kind of esoteric props every single week. So DraftKings is booking, will there be, I don't know if they're booking, will there be a roughing the passer call, but they are.
Oh, even like in a week 11 or week 12.
They're doing defensive props. You know, will there be a score in the last 3.5 minutes of the game? Will there be a lead change in the fourth quarter? Like, you can bet, you know, double results, like halftime, full time, team to score first, wins, all that stuff, like every single week. And so they're getting that feedback from their pricing because people are betting into it, and they have data people, third party providers in some cases, providing them with that pricing. And so they can price it a lot better than they used to be able to. Whereas before, you had books offering Super Bowl props and then not offering these same props every other week. And so they weren't getting that feedback. And in some cases, they would book a prop once a year and not actually take note of where the line moved. And the example I can think of that's most accessible is Johnny Avello at the Wynn and the will there be a roughing the passer penalty prop, which every year he opened at -115, -115 for the yes and the no. And, like, as you know, that should be the no should be a substantial favorite of more than -200.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really exist anymore. So there isn't, and the fact that the props come out right after the NFC and AFC championship games on Sunday night at these US like DraftKings, FanDuel book type books means that it's not the Westgate opening on Tuesday, which used to be Tuesday, and being the first operation to put props up, and then everybody sort of following, but there being that sort of, you know, it just being their opinion with no market basis or anything like that. And so there used to be these huge edge huge opportunities when openers came out, and there still are occasional mispricings, but it just becomes, it's such a small percentage of our portfolio now.
Mm. Can you share a few that you've made this year? Super Bowl 59.
So this year I did not actually grind the opener skill. I didn't bet at Westgate on Thursday.
Wow.
I went skiing on Monday.
Of course you did.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I used to literally pull it all night or Sunday night, work Monday, and then have all my everything done that Monday night. This is like 12 years ago.
So do you have none in your account right now? No props at all?
I might have bet like two or three.
You're willing to share one or two?
I think I bet yes on three unanswered scores at minus 160.
Yes, three unanswered scores. So three scores by the same team in a row, mm-hmm. exception of 2-point conversions and extra points.
Yes that there will be.
Yes that there will be. Okay. Yes. Okay. So the way it's phrased, the yes is the favorite.
The yes is the favorite.
Yes, that it will happen. Yes.
Right. It doesn't. When you think it's one of these props that's kind of counterintuitive if you haven't bet into it or thought about it before that much, because you're like, well, three and that's these teams are. It's going to be a close game.
Right. I've always said it's the one that flummoxes better the most. Where I got confused right here is it's usually phrased, "Will a team score three times in a row?" And the no is the one that's juiced.
No. It's always the yes that's one that's juiced.
Will the team score three times in a row? Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. Yes is juiced.
You think
correct.
That the no should be the favorite
right.
in a way.
That's right.
If you...
I got that twisted. But yes, minus 160 is low enough where you played it.
Yes.
Okay.
I just know that from my experience with game props and stuff that I was like...
So you don't have to think about it. So is it that generally speaking, now I think you alluded to this last year, generally speaking, people are just betting overs now? Or excuse me, people are betting, if you're going to bet, overs... Do it early, but if you're going to bet unders, wait till towards game time. Is that generally the way to
go? And I would say it's the same thing in terms of betting on things to happen versus betting against things to happen.
Yeah.
So the no, like, will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown? No. You know, will there be a fourth down, like, conversion by this team? No, right. If you're betting those types of things, you're going to get better prices at game time. And if you want to bet on them, bet early.
That didn't used to be the case so cleanly. Back in the day?
I think it always was.
Yeah.
To some extent. But we just used to get so much of our value from these openers that we weren't thinking about betting on game day.
Gotcha. But now, what percentage of your bets is on game day now, prop-wise?
It's going to be 75%. And it's going to be like 95% Wednesday and later. Well, that's probably 99% Wednesday
and
later.
So that's the biggest fundamental difference. That clearly. Okay.
But we're more relaxed about it now.
I can tell. Weren't you just in Australia for 2 weeks during football season?
Yeah. Yeah. Whitewater rafting off the grid for 10 days.
Man is very relaxed. More with Rufus on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
In sports betting and trading, probability is the key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSIN. Get a free ebook on options trading and use code VSIN500 to save $500 on any purchase. Gil Alexander with Rufus Peabody. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way. Get this clever Twitter handle. Rufus Peabody. Half the Massey Peabody Analytics team. Part of the Bet the Process podcast with Jeff Ma, and of course, co-founder of Unabated with Captain Jack and others as well. Man who wears many hats. Oh, and by the way, he bets on sports too. Let me ask you a question here.
I should have done it. I should have made a different Twitter handle when I joined Twitter 12 years ago.
Do you really? No, I think it's great that you went with your real name.
I don't know. Maybe Rufus was available.
Maybe it was.
That would have been better.
You know the story how Spanky got Spanky? How he like tricked somebody into giving him Spanky? Do you know
he like paid someone for it?
Yeah. Sports betting hasn't made me a better person, but it has made me a better human being. Am I quoting you correctly?
I don't know. I mean, isn't that the same thing?
Well, I think you made the distinction. I'm quoting you. So in other words, maybe it is because Roxy famously says sports betting never made anybody a better person.
Yeah, I take issue with that. He said that on Michael Lewis's podcast.
Yeah, like meaning it doesn't help with your relationships. It doesn't help with other things in your personal life. But there's a comment you made about it as it relates to you being a human being that always resonated with me is that you view the world through how you bet sports. Same process.
To succeed at sports betting, you have to view the world probabilistically. And you have to view it not deterministically, not through the lens of what happens, but what could happen and why. And so I think asking that question, why, is really important in life. Why did this person do this thing to me like, it probably didn't have to do with you. It probably had to do with something they were going through. And so I think when you sort of drill down, I think it makes you a more understanding human being, or at least it has for me.
How spectrumy do you get with that? Like, when you walk out of the studio after you, after your this segment, and you get on the escalator, are you like 0.0003% chance something wrong, goes wrong with the escalator right now? You don't do that.
No, doesn't
get to that minutia.
No, I'm so, you know, I actually am much more of a feet, like a feel guy. Like in all the sports I play, I'm not mechanical, even though my my betting is all numbers based. Like, I think I'm more of an artist than a scientist in a way.
Who did you watch the AFC the NFC championship with?
I was in Sundance. I was in Park City. There's someone I'm dating is a documentary film producer, and so I was there. I went into a restaurant bar to try to find a place to watch, to eat lunch and watch the game. And
let's rephrase that. You said someone I'm dating. You mean the girl I'm dating?
Girl,
right?
I'm dating.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry, if she was listening. I just want to make sure.
The girl I'm dating. Yeah. Yes. So she was off doing some film stuff, but so I went to this bar, and I end up giving up my table because there was a seat at the bar, and there was only, it was one, two top left, and these two people, to John Hamm and his wife.
John Hamm, the actor.
John Hamm, the actor.
Don Draper.
Don Draper.
From
so,
Mad Men.
And so I'm sitting like literally right next to him because the table kind of like abuts that bar, and we're both cheering for the Redskins. He called them the Redskins, and because he's a Chiefs fan, and so we made it was you know, two guys at a bar being like, oh, that was a call.
Did he at any point ask what you do? Did you ask what he does? Did you act like you didn't know who he was?
I didn't acknowledge knowing who he was, but I did ask if he had a film here, or if that's what he was.
You play that game with
and
him.
He said that he has a long form, a narrative podcast he's doing for Amazon, and had a panel on that, and it's talking about like LA in the 1940s.
And you would not have offered up what you do unless he asked you.
Correct.
I'm with you on that.
Well, and I don't think like. He walked in wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly doesn't want to be recognized, and I'm sure he knows that some people will. He did take off the sunglasses, but I don't want to be like, oh, can I get a picture with you? Like,
right, you're not that guy.
I think, look, we're both human beings.
Yeah. Back to the props for a second. You said on the one hand, even though you have fewer bets at this time of week than you did back in the day, there's still plentiful data, more so than ever, available to you.
Yeah.
Specifically.
I mean, you have charting data. I can look at the coverage on every snap. I can see who's exactly on the field, what routes they're running. I think it's a far cry from when I was started, where it was, in essence, like box score stats and the play-by-play but not knowing all this extra stuff, like how far off, what's the cushion this guy's getting on this route, like how many blitzers on this play. And so there's all these things that you can do to kind of, I guess, there's more granular data you can use to make better predictions, right? Like, sacks are not a function of just how often a guy got sacked in the past. How often did he get hurried, hit?
Right. But do you find that there's a sport or sports, because this is obviously available to books as well, theoretically, right? Is there a sport, where's the biggest sort of incongruence? In which sport do you feel like, generally speaking, you still have an edge, whereas in other sports, that data doesn't necessarily translate to an edge?
Well, I think it's not about the books having it. It's about other bettors having it.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I guess when the data is harder to come by, there's a bigger edge there.
Golf is your number one. Is there a sport where you just have no interest in, you know, that where you're like, I don't think this is a good use of my time? Because you didn't used to bet college basketball. Now you're all about college basketball.
Well, I found a really smart guy to work with.
Okay. So there isn't anything you would say an abject no to, but just a matter of resources and time.
It's a matter of resources and time, and it's so much more difficult to win now than it used to be. Back in the day, I was betting four sports profitably, and I just don't know how I'd have the bandwidth to do that now.
What are your profitable sports? Are golf, college hoops, and NFL
and college football?
And college football.
And NFL is mostly just props and derivatives, but we had a good college football year.
You did.
Yeah, very, very good year.
So NFL sides, you're barely betting those.
We're not betting like any NFL sides.
Any?
No.
Wow. Totals?
No.
Really?
None. I'm betting some like long teasers.
Yeah.
Some derivatives.
But so even the fact that you're part of Massey Peabody and you guys are putting those out, and famously back in the day you did it in was it the New York Times that you had, guys had it in originally? Wall Street Journal, sorry.
Both New York based.
Right. The fact that you sort of made a name for yourself on that, ironically, you're the guy who's not betting, you know, sides. Even though you guys were the ones to put out what your lines would have been back in the day.
Correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And do you ever take time? I mean, I'm just very curious, Rufus. Do you ever take any moment, all the things we've talked about, you know, you're the bridge from Roxy. You have this special place in modern day, at least American sports betting. Do you ever take a moment to reflect on any of that? Or is that just me being like, dude, you should probably take a moment to reflect on this?
I don't think of it the same way you do. Yeah. I don't think of myself as a bridge. Those are Michael Lewis's words.
Those are mine.
I take time to reflect certain, like I have an immense amount of gratitude for what I've gone through and experienced and how random it is, how lucky I've been to be in the places I've been.
Do you feel that what you observe in sports betting, whether on Twitter and its own little cacophony of gambling Twitter, or just generally speaking, do you feel like this is all going in a bad direction in terms of how, you know, books are kicking out people, anybody who's successful, and so it's sort of predatory in that way? Do you feel like gamblers are getting smarter? On the other hand, are you in any way life affirmed by the fact that every once in a while you'll see someone who's super smart and you'll be like, there's a guy in my image that
you
makes me feel
get into
good
gambling,
about this.
Probably.
You probably shouldn't. That's your takeaway from all this.
No, yes, the books limiting winning bettors is something that I don't particularly like, but I'm not going to go yell at the clouds about that anymore. I mean, I understand that's how it is. To me, my bigger concern is with the ecosystem as a whole in terms of problem gambling stuff and all these people in high school and college now and how, I mean, I learned this from Michael Lewis's podcast, just how prevalent it is and how big a problem it's going to be, and just that we don't have the resources to handle it. And so I think asking sports books to be, well, asking sports books to be in charge of problem gambling and helping root out problem gambling is just giving, you know, the fox the keys to the hen house, right? I just don't think it can work because the incentives are just so misaligned. So what I would like to see at some point is, you know, I don't know if it's a government organization or just a private company, but some sort of third party entity that can do all the income verification checks and basically like do all the problem gambling stuff. They would have to, anyway, that's a longer conversation for another day. Yeah. But I certainly, the problem gambling stuff is the thing I'm most worried about, and what this is going to look like for society when we have, especially if people have slot machines on their phone.
Dude, I really appreciate the time. It's always fascinating to talk to you. As Roxy says, I always learn something when I talk to you, and I hope you've inspired somebody. I'm sure you have, at least somebody out there who listens to this. Like, this is the guy I want to model myself after. Against the Rules with Michael Lewis is where you can find out about Rufus. Also on that platform as well, Bet the Process, the name of his podcast. Thank you, sir.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. It's time for our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Let us begin with me. There we go. I've got one tennis play still to come today. Elena Gabriela Rousset, who, again, if you're a VSiN subscriber, we got this at -110. But by the time we did the show, and then even after I announced it, it started ticking up. So I got it at -111. But right now she's at -132, and I have the true line as -137. So is there value? Yes, but it's only shredded. Oh, by the way, it's already started. So anyway, that's gone. It already started. Just started. Rousset trying to break Kalinina for a 2-love lead here in the first set. I am on the Chiefs. minus 1.5 against the Eagles. I made that bet right after the championship games on Sunday night last week, 8 days ago. The line remains the same. Chiefs minus 1.5. Not Like Us, Kendrick Lamar, first song at 2-1. Swimming Pools, Drank, 7-1. Kendrick Lamar, first song. That's the friskier one. National Anthem, under 125 seconds. It's now lined at 123 seconds with the under heavily juiced at minus 170. Calais by DeLon, does he have any? Kelly Bidlin, does he have any best bets on this particular program? Yes, he does. His two Super Bowl prop bets, Kareem Hunt, over 42.5 rushing yards, and Isaiah Pacheco, longest rush, under 8.5 yards. Kelly's also on the Pacers tonight, laying 7 points in the National Basketball Association. Speaking of the NBA, Carl Sack was here. He has a play. He is on the Pelicans, plus 11.5, and as soon as he gave it out, that moved. Pelicans plus the points tonight in the NBA. And then Rufus had the one. Had the one Super Bowl prop. Again, this is the difference between now and back in the day. This one he just made on muscle memory. Will there be three straight scores? Yes, minus 160. Remember, this is the one that every year I say flummoxes bettors the most, because most people say three straight scores. They're the two best teams in the NFL, if not two of the best. And certainly it's very difficult to score three times in a row, exception two-point conversions or extra points. That never happens. How could that be priced the way it is when, in fact, it happens all the time? So, yes, minus 160 for Rufus on that one. G-Bank, every show here on the network, every single host, every guest, with all of our plays recapped, best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of Visa. And if you're serious about sports betting, you need the G-Bank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. Even when you put your own money on the card, G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees right there. Right now, for a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at Visa.com/G-Bank. That's Visa.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Kamish. Red Sox trading Mookie Betts in his prime for a bag of trash comes close for all-time front office idiocy, trying to come up with a comp for the Luka Doncic trade. Jason H11, don't forget Luka went from a no-income tax state to the highest income tax state. That's going to be way more than Supermax BS. No Supermax. Jonathan Call trying to make a comparison. Juan Soto for Mike Trout, just trying to come up with a trade that is comparable. Master of Puppets, trade-wise, Kobe for Vlade is what this reminds him of. Interesting, although Kobe, of course, hadn't played an NBA game yet. Matt Saint, Burrow for Stafford, he says. Charles in Connecticut, it's a fictional trade, but in terms of a comp I came up with, Soto for Trout. Soto, mid-20s, top five in Major League Baseball playoffs every year for Trout. Early 30s, oft injured, but when healthy, also one of the best in the game. Larry Matthews Jr., loss of money aside, this will end up being the best thing for Luka's career. A kick in the butt for a young player will develop that chip on his shoulder. Luka's payback will be fun to watch. I would agree with that comment as well. Bainbridge DeWeese, that Russe line moved. I did get it at minus 110 early this morning after I checked the VSiN Tennis Picks page. And then Wet Willie Colin says, I was fully expecting Rufus to go full Kelly on that VSiN promo with ANG as in a numbers game. And then Michael Burns talking about Rufus. Masterclass from Rufus. Could listen all day. C. Spackler, such a great show today with Rufus. The nerd head can see the world for what it is, not what it wants. I love that. Teasers and parlays. Great insights and stories with Gil and Rufus this morning on a numbers game. Always great content when Rufus is on. And from a big Heise, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, find and listen to Gil and Rufus on VSiN, a numbers game from today. This is the most informative, insightful sports betting conversation I've heard in a minute. Thank you. And Michael Burns, Rufus seems so grounded. Bet he's an awesome dude to hang out with. Would have loved to play a round of golf with him. Thank you for all the feedback. Jason Weingarten comes to us now as well. From under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California, comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason can be found on Twitter at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. It's officially Super Bowl week now, getting a little more excited for the game. And then, you know, we got baseball right around the corner. So that's what I'm really excited about.
Do we have baseball bets? Have you made some since the last time we spoke?
I made a couple win total bets. I'm pretty down on the Braves to start the year so far. I think that's the line that I think is going to keep coming down. It was as high as like 92 or 93 to open. And I know they've already indicated that both Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider aren't going to be on the opening day roster. And it got me thinking, this was about a week or a week and a half ago. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, everybody on that team coming back a year older. Chris Sale, Strider, Acuna, I mentioned, they're coming back off injuries. No guarantee guys ever come back and perform 100% after a big injury. So I thought the 93.5, especially when you consider they're in the division with the Phillies and the Mets and, you know, these teams that are in win now mode, and they're going to win a lot of games too. I just think, you know, I don't think the Braves are a bad team, but I think 93, 92, 91, that's a lot of games for a team in a competitive division. So that was my first bet. And then I bet the under on the Padres. You know, I think they're going to end up selling off if they don't have a good year. And I think there's just a lot of questions with ownership. They're suing each other right now. So give me the under with the Padres too, especially that'll give me something to make fun of Padres fans all season, which, as you know, is one of my favorite things to do.
But you're not an LA Dodgers fan. Let's get that straight. Right, Jason?
No, I'm not an LA Dodgers fan.
Okay.
I appreciate good teams, and I appreciate what they're doing.
Okay. Super Bowl is coming this week, obviously, Super Bowl 59. But before that, we have the awards announcements on Thursday night. All of the NFL awards, all of the AP awards. Do you believe we will get a surprise anywhere?
Probably one. You know, usually it's good for one surprise. I don't really have any idea what it's going to be. I was actually looking over this weekend just because I had a whole stack of losing tickets this year. I have no winners in any market as far as I could tell, except some small in-season Lamar Jackson. I don't count. You know, I don't count that when it's, you know, I'm going to win a little bit of money on Lamar Jackson and lose all my other bets. And, you know, it's not really a win. But it got me thinking, one of my favorite bets was Sauce Gardner to win Defensive Player of the Year. I'm really kicking myself because I was right about the defensive back this year. I just picked the wrong one, and it's probably going to be Patrick Surtain. And he probably a huge number before the season. I honestly didn't even look at him or consider him. I'm kind of annoyed with myself that I did kind of end up in the right ballpark, but the wrong guy. So a little disappointed in myself there, but you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know if he's going to win it though. I really don't. Like, I think defensive.
You think Hendrickson's going to win it or
yeah,
who?
I do. I think Hendrickson will. I think defensive player of the year and defensive rookie of the year, nothing should be deemed a surprise. I think it should be a surprise based on how the betting markets might have had it. But we always have to, you know, keep in mind that the betting markets might not be a reflection of any reality whatsoever when it comes to these. So I think those two categories, I don't think anything can be deemed a surprise. I was just thinking about any of the others. Like, I mean, is Saquon not going to win offensive player of the year? Is, you know, who's going comeback player of the year? I still don't know who's winning that. Coach of the year? Not exactly 100% sure either. So surprise, I guess I should put in quotes, because I think there's enough categories where we really don't know at this point.
True. I'd love DeMar Hamlin to win. You know, that would actually make me some money, but no, I'm not holding out on that.
Not holding out on that. As far as Super Bowl 59, refresh our memory, what are your bets?
Chiefs, nothing crazy. You know, the line hasn't moved much. I don't really expect it to. As far as props go, I can see myself betting a couple props, but I don't think I'm going to have to bet the props that I like the most before Saturday or even Sunday. Saquon Barkley has rushing total under, his rush plus reception yards, those are just going to tick up all week. Travis Kelce under receptions, under receiving yards, those are just going to tick up all week. So if you're looking at betting some stuff like that, some unders, going to wait till Saturday, Sunday morning, probably in Vegas, I'll be able to pick off a couple props here and there. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking at unders, there's really no rush to jump in on a lot of this stuff right now.
Yeah, we were talking about that with Rufus just a second ago. Jason, I appreciate it. We'll talk between now and then.
Talk to you later. Good day. Have a good week, guys.
You too. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia on Twitter. We have done all we can do. Nothing but Super Bowl 59 coverage all day long, all week long on the network, and including Super Bowl Sunday itself, where all of us will be on air leading up to the big game. Stormy's next with Money Moves and Joy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.